key one, the most important one, is this idea of God with us. And God is, he hasn't just come to put his hand on us. He's not just here to say, well done, give us a nice pat on the back and push us forward. He's come to stay, God with us. He has come to dwell. He's come to reside in us. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what the word means. Someone once said that if you could convince a man that there was no hope, he would curse the day that he was born. Hope. You see, hope for humans is an important part of life. That question, it's the cry of all humanity, is there any hope? In different circumstances and situations, that question can be heard, is there any hope? Well, there is. And it begins on this day. In London, there is a very famous cemetery called Bunhill Fields. And it's a place where a lot of famous people are buried. You have Charles Wesley, the great preacher and hymn writer. Isaac Watts is another great hymn writer. Daniel Defoe, the author of Robinson Crusoe. And opposite the graveyard is the chapel of John Wesley, who was one of the greatest preachers and hymn writers of his day. And across the road from that is John Wesley's house, where on March 2nd, 1791, Wesley opened his eyes and exclaimed for the very last time upon his deathbed these words, "The best of all is this, God is with us." God is with us. A man who had just blazed a trail of evangelism and worship music and sermons, when it really came down to it, what was the most important thing to him? That God is with us. God is with us. Now, it's interesting, though, for all the importance of this idea of God is with us, Emmanuel, it only occurs in the Bible three times. Three times. It appears in Isaiah. We're going to talk about that passage twice. And then it appears again in the New Testament in Matthew. Emmanuel, God with us. So let's begin with the Isaiah passage. And Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 through 14, reads like this. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So a little background on this. King Ahaz is the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. A little quick history lesson. At this point in time, when Isaiah is writing this, the Hebrews had split into two nations, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. King Ahaz is not a really good guy. I mean, he sacrificed his own children to pagan gods. He's a really bad guy. But the northern kingdom of Israel, they weren't much better, and they wanted to defend themselves from Assyria, which is was the major power in those days. So you have Israel in the north, Judah in the south. You have Syria, which is over next to Israel. And then you have Assyria, the big bad guy. So Israel and Syria decide to go in together and fight against Assyria. So they call up Ahaz on a wooden tablet or something, I don't know. So they contact Ahaz and he says, "We want you to get into our coalition so we can all go and fight against Assyria." But Ahaz didn't trust God. He wavered. He hesitated. As much as he had been told over and over and over again that how mighty God was, he stumbled, he wavered, he was hesitant and all that. And at the end of the day, he hitched his horse to Assyria. So now he's going to fight with the big bad guy against his own people. So that's why Isaiah is here having this. So that's the thing. Ahaz is making a big mistake. He's going to fight against his own people. And Isaiah comes to him and he says, "Look, if you only trust in God, Ahaz, if you would only put your faith in God, give everything into his hands, then you would be okay. And God will look after you. He would take care of you." He's telling God to He's telling Ahaz to test God, to ask God to prove this message that he was bringing, to confirm it with a sign. But Ahaz doesn't want to do that. Doesn't want to listen to the prophet. He wants to go his own way. He sides with Assyria, and son of a gun, the Assyrians betray him, and bad things happen to him. So that's the context. But here's the message of Isaiah. He says, look, I will prove to you that what I say is true. I will show you that my promises are true. And yet Ahaz didn't believe him. But here's how faithful God is. Here's how faithful God is. Have you in your life, and don't answer, have you in your life said to yourself, I know what the Bible says, but I think I should do it this way instead? Have you ever looked at the promises of God and says, well, I know that God said he would take care of me, but I got to work this one out on my own? Have you ever heard the words and promises of God and decided to go your own way? I know I have. And here's the funny thing. Consistently, over and over and over again, God proves himself to be righteous and true, and what God says he will do, he always does. Always. So Ahaz doesn't want to listen to God. He doesn't want to trust in God, that God will take care of him. He tries to go his own way. That really doesn't work out very well. But here's the interesting thing. Even though the king did not have the faith in God, although Ahaz refused to listen to the voice of God, God was faithful to the remnant of the people in the nation of Judah who were faithful to him. And he said, I'm going to send this child, whether Ahaz fails me or not. And throughout the Old Testament, here's the interesting thing. The people of Israel failed God over and over and over again. Bad stuff happened. People cried out to God. God would send a judge to come in and restore them. And then they would worship God again. And as long as they worshiped God, everything was fine. But then they would drift away, and they would try to do it on their own. And then bad things would happen, and it was a continuous cycle. When we don't trust God to be true to his word, there's going to be consequences for that. We have to trust him. And I understand, there are times in our lives when we just can't see God. We just can't see him. Where's God in all this? Where is God when I need him? I feel, this is my one I hear a lot, I feel so far away from God. But you know, what's interesting is God is omnipresent. In other words, God is everywhere at all times. So when you feel, when I feel, well, I feel very far away from God. God didn't move. Do you understand? God didn't move. He's right there. And he has promised to be faithful to me, and he has promised never to leave me and never forsake me. So the question then becomes, what did this Emmanuel, God is with us, what did it mean to Isaiah? It meant that God himself had stepped into the world and made a promise. And in Isaiah's experience, in all of human history, of Hebrew history at that point, when God made a promise, he always kept it.